Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. We're going to begin a series of messages that I've given the title of Revelation of Redemption. If you remember, our action theme for this year is healing, redemption, and thanksgiving. I want you to have confidence in the fact that every single Sunday you will be given an opportunity, if you need healing in your body, to be prayed for. I want you to just count on that, that if you know someone is sick, that you can invite them and say, there will be prayer. The elders of the church will pray for you. They will anoint you with oil, according to James chapter 5, and they will pray for you, and we will believe together that you will be made whole. Amen? We're going to be studying together the book of Romans for the next weeks. I thought that this would encompass 16 weeks because I was going to take a whole chapter each week, but the Lord really slowed me down. So we'll end when we're done. And I'm sure there'll be some other things that will fit in there, but we're going to, come on, there we go. We're going to study this book in an expository manner. In other words, you say, well, where are we going next week? Well, we'll take the next verses next week, so that's where we'll be going. I tell you that because I'd love for you to read out in advance. That way you know, let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart and see how He confirms it then as the word is preached. Then you get the benefit of two times the Spirit speaking into your life. About the book of Romans, it was written in 59 to 60 AD. Now, let me give you just a little bit of a framework there. If you remember, and we've talked about this before, that in 72 AD, the Roman government came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took the people of Israel off to all of the far reaches of the Roman Empire. So that is kind of a mark, if you will, in history. This would have been about 12 years, 10 to 12 years prior to that. It says that the author is Paul. Now, this is actually his surname. His given name was Saul of Tarsus. That was where he was from, Tarsus. Paul means little. Many believe that this was a name that was given to him, and really an action, if you will, of humility to humble him. It was likely written from Corinth. We'll get into the reasons of that as we go on back in during Paul's third missionary journey. We do know that at this point in time, he had never been to the church in Rome. The church was likely a mixed congregation of both Jews and Gentiles. Paul did not start this church. Many scholars believe, if you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 10, that on the day of Pentecost, as that crowd gathered, seeing what was happening as the Spirit was poured out, that there were Roman citizens there, people from Rome. Many believe that with this move of God, they took that powerful experience, went back, and started the church from that. But Paul, obviously, and we'll hear this as we go along, he obviously kept an eye on the church at Rome. Perhaps because the Romans controlled, if you will, the world. And as the gospel was seated there, it allowed the gospel to go on out. He thought that he would simply make a journey there. We can study in the book of Acts that actually what happened was he went there in chains and actually had an opportunity to give witness to all of the household of the government. Powerful, powerful thing. You know, God arranges things and opportunities for us to be able to minister. You think when he was imprisoned and, you know, it would have been such a negative thing that he would have kind of held back on God. But in reality, he looked for every opportunity to share the gospel. Yeah. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel this morning? Well, I hope that as we study this together, that you will begin to see the reasoning of why the Spirit of the Lord is taking us in this dimension of His Word. F.F. Bruce says, time and again in the course of Christian history, it has liberated Romans, has liberated the minds of men, brought them back to an understanding as the essential gospel of Christ, and started a spiritual revolution or revolutions. St. Augustine, before he was St. Augustine, became a believer from the words of Romans chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, which say, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy, but rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. It's interesting that that was the verse that impacted his life. How many of you have ever been impacted by a scripture? I mean, to the place where it felt like, wow, this one is mine. You been there? Powerful, isn't it? I mean, I could think of so many scriptures, the just will live by faith, and others that would have been very exciting, that would have drawn him, but for whatever reason, this one came to life in him. Martin Luther also was touched. He was living a very depressed life before God, struggling with his experience in God. Teacher, scholar, author, here's what he said. The righteousness by which through grace and shown mercy, God justified us through faith. He explained his experience, quote, thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and to have gotten through open doors into paradise. In other words, reading and studying the book of Romans liberated him in his Christian experience. So you have Augustine who found the Lord through the book, and you have Martin Luther who was liberated in the Lord through this marvelous book. Two more. One, John Wesley, preacher, evangelist, author, teacher. After returning to England after a discouraged time in Savannah, Georgia, you know, he came over here to preach, and just everything fell apart. It was a very discouraging time for him, and he went back. Now understand, they had to take a boat. They didn't get to fly. So it was a months-long journey to make it across the ocean. And he was terribly discouraged and really ready to give up on ministry. He was called one night to come and listen to the preface of Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. Now, it wasn't Romans itself, but actually just the preface to the commentary written by Martin Luther. It says his heart, during the reading, his heart was strangely warmed. He wrote in his journal, I felt that I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. In other words, the Lord lifted off of him because of the book of Romans, because of Martin Luther, and what God had done in Martin Luther's life through this book lifted the load of walking with the Lord off his shoulders. See, you begin to see how powerful the book of Romans is to us as believers and to the unbeliever. One final one. Louis Frederick Goddick stated in his commentary on Romans, the probability is that every great spiritual revival in the church will be connected as effect and cause with a deeper understanding of Romans. In other words, if you really begin to dig and to study all of the awakenings, the great awakenings and others, that the preaching of the book of Romans has precipitated the moving of the Spirit of God. Okay? So you see why we're going there? How many are hungry for a moving of God in your life? Amen. This thing is just, you know, we're going to stand by the stuff. We're going to keep standing. We're going to be trusting. That's fantastic. But oh, for those times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. So I'm praying that as we move our way through this book, that even as it affected Augustine and Martin Luther and John Wesley, oh, by the way, John Wesley then went for 40 years after that preaching in England and in the United States and started, if you will, the Methodist Church, whose goal was to have a church every place there was a post office. And they pretty much succeeded. Powerful spreading of the gospel. Today we'll begin our study of Paul's letter to the church with his call and the effects of the gospel message. His call and effects of the gospel message. Those two words are very important to us as we move through today's message particularly. Read along with me, if you would, begin in chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith in his namesake, or for his namesake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to your throne and we ask you this morning that in these few moments that we have to study your word together, that your Spirit would do what no person could ever do. That you, Lord, would make your word powerful in our lives. Find us right where we are, and may you move us forward, even as you did Augustine and Martin Luther and John Wesley. Move us in our journey with you as we study your word. Spirit of God, speak into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking today about the effects of the gospel. One of the effects is the call to be. The call to be. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we read it together. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is talking about, and what Paul is laying down here, is a gospel of transformation. This is not just good news. This is good news that changes lives. I shared with you just a few of those who went on to have such an effect on the spiritual realm. But the reality is the gospel message, the real gospel message, if it gets down inside of you, it is transforming. The Apostle Paul knew this firsthand because he was walking on a Damascus road. His intent was to go and persecute Christians. He had already put many in jail. He had already held the coats of those that killed Stephen. He was already on this journey to oppose the gospel, but all of a sudden, the Lord met him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Just the voice of the Lord, just the realization that Jesus was the Son of God and was alive, was transforming to Paul. He immediately understood who was addressing him and immediately yielded his life. The gospel message is good news. It's good news to those that don't have good news in their lives. They're carrying a burden. They're carrying a weight of sin down upon them. The good news of the gospel is that he wants to transform your life. He wants to take the load off so that you can walk in liberty. Hallelujah. And can I say, not just once. See, this is the power of the gospel. It is liberating, not just once, not just when you accept the Lord as your Savior, but over and over and over again. When you and I will reckon with the power of the gospel, it is transforming. I don't know about you, sometimes I have a bad day. Anybody else? Please tell me you do. How many have bad days sometimes? You know, there's a scope of Christianity that would say, you know, every day is just going to be magnificent. It's just going to be wonderful. But Cindy and I, we have some bad days. I knew I'd get an amen. Sometimes you're discouraged. Sometimes you're struggling in understanding what in the world God's doing in your life. I don't want to paint a negative picture, but here's the reality. If you will take the time and move from the problem to the solution. See, that's what the gospel is. It takes us off of the problem of sin and darkness and struggle and gives us the light of the truth of who Christ is. It's just like Paul, that great light that shined down upon him and transformed his life. If you and I will allow the Lord, you say, well, how long does that take? You know, I only got a couple of seconds. Good luck. You may just get to continue to walk in your discouragement. How long does it take? It takes as long as it takes. Because, see, there are times that the Lord wants to visit with us. He wants to just fellowship with us. He wants some me time, you know, in our lives. That's His getting our time and us getting His time. But if you'll give Him that opportunity, the glory of the gospel, which is not just that He saves sinners, but He changes lives, transforms lives. Oh, I'd like to camp out here longer, but I must move on. Oh, I hit the wrong one. There we go. This is a gospel promised. The Apostle Paul was very aware that this wasn't a new revelation that he had just received of the power of the gospel, but rather that the gospel had been promised for over 4,000 years. So what we're talking about here in the gospel message, it is really not a new message. Now, they only had a foreshadow, if you will, of the gospel message. You and I, on this side, 2,000 years after Jesus came, we have a clearer picture than what the prophets did. But moved along by the power of the Holy Spirit, they stood among the people and prophesied. And according to Jesus, they were all killed for it, or most all were killed for it. You see, it has been God's plan all along to send His Son into the world to redeem the lost world. Hallelujah.
praise you, Lord.
Did you know that your salvation was known and planned in him before the foundations of the world? How incredible is that? You know, David said, in my mother's womb, he knew me. He knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, he has known you since before you knew you. Not surprised at all by the fact that you would go wandering over the earth, that you would seek out the stuff of this world. Not surprised at all. But he had a plan. He has a plan. A plan of redemption, a plan of transformation, a plan of promise for every single one of our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to move on. This effect of the gospel is a call to people. Not just throwing out the gospel. It is a call to individual people. Just like Saul, walking on a Damascus road, had an encounter with Christ. Peter walked with him for many years, but then denied him. There needed to be an encounter. And on a seashore, before breakfast, Jesus was standing there and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. An encounter of transformation, an encounter. Why? Because the Lord calls people. There's a song that says, he knows my name. We need to remember that he knows your name. He knows right where you are. He knows where you live. He knows your address. He knows where you sleep. He knows every single thing about you. And here you go. He still wants you. He still wants a relationship with you. This is a call to people, a call with a singular purpose, a purpose for his transformation of our lives. It says, through him. Through who? Through Jesus. Why? For his namesake. See, he wants to transform us into a people who understand who has the power of life. Not just eternal life, but the power of today's life. I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life. And just an old average life. No? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The best life that you and I can have is the life that the Lord will give to us. Seating ourselves in him. How's it come? We're chosen by grace. I'd like for you all to say this. Would you just say it? Speak it out. Come on. One more time. Okay? You're not going to earn the power of the gospel. You're not going to work your way to being good enough that the Lord is going to want to bless you or heal you or minister in your life. It comes to us by grace. We received grace and apostleship. No one was more aware of this transformation power of the gospel than Paul was. Over and over again, almost every letter that he wrote, he gives his testimony of who he was, how lost he was, and that the Lord would bring him in. I believe he was continuously amazed at the fact that he was given apostolic authority to preach the word and to minister to the Gentiles. I do. I believe he was totally amazed that God would be willing to use him. What does that say to us? It says that every single one of us have an opportunity to be moved by the gospel. I like this, to call people from among the Gentiles. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm one of those. I'm glad that the gospel didn't stop at the nation of Israel. For a thousand of years, they were his chosen people. He sent his prophets to them. He ministered over them. He spoke into their lives, telling them of the hope of the gospel. But then with the coming of Jesus, it was like the wall was broken down. And all of a sudden, that Jews and Gentiles, anybody, whosoever will. Do you remember when the lady, the Syrophoenician woman, came to Jesus and asked that her daughter, I believe it was to be healed? And Jesus said, no, I can't do this. We can't cast the bread to the dogs. Ouch. Her faith said, but Lord, the dogs get to eat the crumbs from under the table. And what did he do? He said, he turned to her, he said, your faith has just healed your daughter. And in that moment, her daughter was healed. Ah, praise God. He came to the invited guests that we talked about last week. He came to those, but they didn't want to come to him. So he went out into the highways and byways and found the Gentiles. Made Paul the apostle to the Gentiles to go in, travel around throughout the Roman Empire and to leave behind a 2,000-year witness for you and I to study. Praise God. To call a people to the obedience that comes from the faith. You see, if you get this turned upside down, it will be an impossible life. That is to say that you're going to be so good that you are worthy of the gospel. It will not happen. On the other hand, if you allow the transformation of the gospel to take over in your life, then that will be a call to obedience that comes from faith. In other words, I want to please him. You want to please the Lord? There are changes that I will make in my life. It's a progression of sanctification. Sanctification is a long word, but it means to make holy or to separate unto the Lord, okay? But it's a progression. After 60-some years of serving the Lord, he's just now dealing with my heart about certain things. Because that's his love for me. That's his care over me. You know, he didn't tell me 60-some years ago of things that I needed to get rid of today in order to walk in obedience to him and to have the kind of life that he wants for me. But it is a matter of me following him. By his grace, I am saved. My faith in him, I trust him with my life. So as he speaks into my life and says, Bill, he doesn't call me Reverend. He just calls me Bill. Don't even call me Pastor. Anyway. He says, Bill, you don't need that. You don't need that in your life. Now, I have in my humanity done the same thing that I'm sure many of you go, why? I've done this forever. Why? Why can't I do it now? Huh? You see, it's because he loves me. It's because of our relationship. He loves me. And to get closer to him, to have more joy, more peace, more power in my life, I need to separate, sanctify away from more of the world. It's an opportunity. I'm not earning anything. I'm enjoying more. That's what grace does. Grace opens the door that allows us to come in and enjoy the Lord. Okay, you go into a person's house. You're invited to come to dinner. And they open the door and they welcome you in. Come right in, come right in. And as you come in, you see over here, there's a table set there, and you can tell there's all kinds of food. There's hors d'oeuvres and hors d'oeuvres. And there's drinks and everything that it's all sitting there over to the side. How many of you just walk in the door and go right to that table and start chowing down? Oh, some of you do. Cool. Well, you don't get invited back. Most of us will wait for the host to say, please, get yourself a plate and come over. We've prepared food for you. Now, they opened the door to you, okay? But that didn't mean go back to our bedroom and go through all the drawers. Huh? It didn't even mean the food that's been prepared for you, that you can walk up to have all of that food until the master of the house, the host, says, come and eat. So this is exactly what the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. The gospel message throws the door open. We come in by that invitation, but then he allows us more and more access. You know, the closer that you get to somebody, like when I go, well, to my mom's house, I try to go there about every other week at least, or sometimes every Friday, and go and see her. And when I go there, I can walk in and I can take any chair that I want. I just walk into her living room and I think, okay, I don't want to sit there. I don't want to sit there. I think I'll sit right here. And I sit right down. It's cool. Even if it's her chair, she wouldn't mind a bit. She'd just go sit across the room. If I went and sat, you know why? Because she and I are in relationship. That's how far we've come. Now see, when I was a kid and growing up, if I came in and plopped down in my dad's spot, what are you doing? You need to move. Huh? Because see, I had not earned that right. I hadn't matured enough to be able to take any chair in the room. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, you know, we think, God, why aren't you doing in me what you've done to somebody else? Forget about everybody else. Come through the door of grace. You've been invited in. You've been allowed access. And then listen to him. Listen to the host. Listen to the master. And he will bring you along step by step. Before you know it, you're able to sit in any chair in the room. Praise God. You see, what's going to happen when we get to heaven? First of all, the only ones who are going to get there are the ones who accept the message of the gospel. Okay? But see, some of us, if you take the time to do just a little bit of study, you'll find out what we're going to do first when we get there. What is it? Cindy, do you know? What's that? We're going to eat. Actually, before we eat, what are we going to do, Jim? Do you know? We're going to gather around the throne. The Lamb who has been slain. That's what begins it all. So, well, you know, I'm not very good about, you know, spending time in prayer and things. It's really hard for me. Well, get used to it. How do you do that? By doing it? Huh? Come about 30 minutes early on a Sunday morning, find yourself a place to sit in the presence of the Lord and pray or listen. Perhaps he wants to speak into your life and take you a little farther in the journey. Let's move ahead. Come on. There we go. Called to belong. Look at verse number six. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, there's one thing that I left out in the introduction of this. This letter, the manuscripts that they have found of this letter, many of them do not mention the Romans. Chapter 15 and 16 are not present in a lot of the manuscripts because they deal very specifically with Rome. Also, verse number 7 is not present in those manuscripts. Most scholars believe that that is because this letter was distributed among all of the churches. So that's where it ended up. So when it was sent out from the churches, they took out all the things for Rome. In other words, it was for the church. That's us. Hello? We are called to belong. He says, you and you are among those who are called. I'd like everybody who are among those who are called by the gospel to stand to your feet. Look around. And say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. That's the 11:45 wake up and dismissal for a few. You see, he was speaking to the believers in Rome, but he was speaking of everybody who would accept the gospel message. You will find as we go through this book that it's not just for the Roman church, it's for us. It was for Martin Luther. It was for Augustine. It was for John Wesley. It was for me, and it's for you. The gospel and the power of the gospel belongs to us. He says, called. That word is teleos. It means called out. Called out ones. We are the called out ones. Called out from where? Called out from the world. Called out from the emptiness of darkness. Called out to be in the light of the glory of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, God has a plan for you. Whether you ever reach out and embrace that plan or not, God has a plan for you. He has position for you within his church. He has opportunity for you to go beyond anything that you have ever known or experienced. That is to say, he wants to build in you a kind of faith that when someone tells you that they're sick, that you reach out and you, without hesitation, you lay your hands upon them and you pray a prayer of faith and watch as the Lord does the work. Hallelujah. Or when you cast that seed of the gospel upon the soil of someone's heart, and with tears streaming down their face, they say, yes, I want to accept Christ as my Savior, and their life is changed. Right there before your eyes, their life is changed. Nothing like it in all of this world where you can change the eternity of an individual. Called to belong. That's what the gospel does. It's an effect of the gospel. I've mentioned this before. I must say it again. What a wonderful thing it is. Just being in among people and look at somebody and think, I'll bet they're a Christian. Come on, how many have done that? Don't know them, don't know anything about them, but there's just something about the way they look, something about them. They belong. Could you see, we're not called to just be this island all by ourselves. We are called into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a powerful, glorious church that he is preparing for himself. We can call it the church of opportunity. It's bigger than what would fit into this house. Covers all over the world, all different languages, all different races. all different nationalities. It's a powerful, glorious church. And we are called to belong. That's what the gospel does. Called to belong. Look what he says. You are among those who are of Jesus Christ. It means partakers of Christ, leaning on his sacrifice, surrendering human rights to his will above and beyond our own will. You are among those who are of Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied with being a Christian in name only? That is, to call yourself a Christian? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Or do you want the goods? Do you want the power? Do you want the presence of His Holy Spirit in your life? I'm telling you this morning, there is an opportunity that is afforded us, that is opened up before us. Listen to this final one in verse number 7. Look at this. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. King James says, called to be saints. I love this. Who are loved by God. Do you know, He loves the whole world and has brought salvation opportunity to the whole world. But when people will accept that opportunity, when they accept the power of the gospel, the love of God is magnified in our lives. You're hurting today, He cares. Called out ones, saints, hagios. Interesting word, because you will find it interpreted in other places as holy, separate unto God. Now again, what does he say here? To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, saints. There is a right of possession that goes along with this. And it's found there in verse number 7, the second part. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that's not offered to everybody? That is not offered to everybody, only to those who belong. Only to those who have accepted the power of the gospel in their lives. Folk, I'm telling you, we have an opportunity to let the gospel affect our lives. And that is the reason, if you will, for the book of Romans, and the reason why we're going to study it together. Because the Lord wants to have an effect upon our lives. Amen? Stand with me, if you would, please. If I could, please remind you one more time. We are called to be, that is, transformed. To call a people who are chosen by grace. Called to belong to Jesus. Called to be saints. Walking in the grace and peace of God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, God has a plan for your life. If you've never given him an opportunity to start that plan, I encourage you this morning, before you go out those doors, come to this altar. Let us pray with you and believe with you for the salvation of your soul. Let the message of the gospel, the sacrifice of Christ, and all of it become yours. It'll transform you. If you've only been a Christian in name only and you want to begin to release and let God do something, I invite you to come and find a place at the altar just tell him, Lord, I want to go more. I want to go beyond. I want to go where you want to take me. Make me one of those saints. Amen? We're going to say a prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to move. If you want to come this way, may God bless you as you're here. We will minister to you at this altar. If you're heading out that direction, may God bless you as you begin a new week. Take the gospel with you. It's good news. Hurting people need the good news of the gospel. Amen? How many of you at least believe this morning as truth? Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we've had this hour and 15 minutes to enjoy your presence, worship you in song, spend a little bit of time praying for one another, and then to open up your word and let it pour over our lives. Thank you. Thank you for this hour. I pray now for those, oh Lord, who need to make a decision, who need time here in your presence, that as they move to this altar, Lord, that you would minister to them in a powerful, powerful way. I pray for those that don't know you as Savior, that this would be the day that they would let the gospel transform them. I pray for those this morning who are hurting in body. May they be obedient to your word to allow the elders to come and pray over them. And Master, we give you thanks this morning for all that you're doing in us. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for that great grace that invites us in. Bless us now as we go from this house. May we glorify you, and may we share the seeds that you've placed in our hearts and in our hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for being with us this morning.